You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Hey gang, Evan here. Welcome to the Locked On Cavs Fast Break Recap of Saturday night's Cavs-Warriors matchup, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. When Steve Kerr was talking to the media before the game, he was reminiscing about his time as a Cavaliers player and how he used to practice and play at Ridgefield Coliseum. He actually kind of shared that his team was shocked when they were practicing at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse today that wasn't the building he practiced in, and kind of aged himself a little bit. But he also was reminiscing about how he was playing with Larry Nance Sr. and Craig Elo and Mark Price, and how surreal it is now that he has to coach against Larry Nance Jr., one of his teammates' sons. And yeah, no, it was just, you could tell there's a lot of nostalgia in his mind and his heart. But we'll touch more on that in a second, because the Cavs are feeling a little sentimental, too, in the fact that they gave Kerr and Mike Brown, then Cavaliers coach and current Warriors assistant coach, a shout-out at the start of the second quarter just to thank them and commemorate them for being a part of an era of Cavaliers basketball for both of them individually, even though Kerr was only here for 3.5 seasons. But whatever, we're just kind of splitting hairs at this point. But, you know, all this nostalgia did get me reminiscing, too, and how it's kind of weird that the Cavs and the Warriors were meeting in the NBA Finals 2 years ago, and how back when Cleveland and Golden State went up against each other, it was must-see TV. Like, we all remember the Christmas Day game where RJ caught himself a body and Kyrie just hit that crazy shot, and then how Golden State would summarily ruin every Christmas in Cleveland after that if you're a basketball fan. But, you know, I feel like people have kind of moved on at this point in the rivalry, and it was a brief 4-year window and something we should appreciate. The fans are pretty lukewarm and mild tonight. They were just, you know, cheering when the Cavs did well and just kind of indifferent when the Warriors did well. I mean, except Draymond Green, because Steve Kerr shared with me after the game that he kind of felt something different playing in this arena tonight, because from the moment he was being introduced, the fans were booing him, and he relishes the role of being a villain in Cleveland, you know, doesn't ever forget anything, ever. But, you know, either way, it was just fans watching two bad teams duke it out, and boy, oh boy, was it some bad basketball. In the third quarter alone, Cleveland was outscored 44-19, and they finished the game with a big fat loss to the tune of 131-112. Just to give you a quick stat read down, Jetty Osman had 10 points and 3 assists and 2 steals. Kevin Love had 14 points, 11 rebounds. Tristan Thompson had 6 points, 11 rebounds. Colin Sexton was the team's leading scorer with 23 points to go with 4 assists and 2 rebounds. And Darius Garland scored 15 points on 33% shooting to go with 3 rebounds and 4 assists and 5 turnovers. So not a very good night for Darius overall. But Kevin Porter Jr. once again was a bright star for this team. He finished with 19 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. And overall, just, you know, part of us wondered and maybe speculated that if Colin took this personally or as a vendetta, that Eric Pascal, who should touch on real quick, finished with 16 points and 2 rebounds and 2 assists in this game. So maybe he was deserving of that Rising Stars nod. But Colin, you could tell, John Boehlein touched on this at the beginning of the game. He maybe consulted for 30 seconds, he said, and said, like, this is just going to be something you can learn from. This is something you can develop from. And Colin's a kind of guy who strikes you that he needs a reason to have a chip on his shoulder. And him getting snubbed for the second year in a row for Rising Stars game is the perfect chip to put on his shoulder. And the rest of the NBA should kind of watch out here. But, it just wasn't a very fun game to watch overall. Chris Manning, my co-host, wasn't able to attend tonight, just to touch on him. His wife has the flu, and I hope she feels better, so that's why I'm flying solo on this one, and I sound super awkward. But, you know, it was probably for the best Christmas, this one, because it just wasn't a very fun game to watch, and mostly because Draymond Green, like I said, did come to play today and finished with 8 points, 7 rebounds, and the craziest part of his stat line was 16 assists, and just really makes you think that Golden State and Cleveland, even though they are record-wise the two worst teams in the NBA this year, actually aren't equally as bad. I mean, yes, the current roster Golden State is fielding out there is putrid, and Cleveland's is pretty bad too, but you have to put in perspective here that once Steph Curry recovers from his broken hand, and the timetable, according to the team, when they were talking to the media tonight, said maybe possibly early March, but I doubt it. I guarantee you they'll probably shut him down for the year. And Klay Thompson recovers from his torn ACL that he suffered in the 2019 NBA Finals. Like, when those two are back, and then you have Draymond, and then you have D'Angelo Russell, whether you keep him or flip him, it's, no. The Warriors are going to be a title threat again next year. As long as everyone stays healthy and they don't have that bad string of luck like they did with injuries this time around. But that's the other interesting thing, though, is they have this lottery pick now, and either they could draft a player to groom that's cost-controlled and cheap, and they could add another explosive option, whether it's in the starting lineup or off the bench, or they could package it with D'Angelo Russell, who, you know, is having a pretty stellar year. He finished tonight with 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 8 assists. And he was 6 of 11 from three-point range, absolutely cooked Darius Garland at one point in this game. But, no, they could package the pick by itself, or you could package it with Russell, and then you pair those two together. And Golden State could just be clicking again, or it pushes them over the edge to make them a legitimate title threat. And, you know, those bandwagon fans that jump ship to join the Lakers this year are going to be pretty conflicted going forward. So, yeah, so that's why their situation is a lot different than Cleveland's, where you have the greatest player of all time on your roster, and you surround LeBron. I'm talking about LeBron, just in case people don't pick up on subtle nuance. They acquire the assets and pieces and veterans to build alongside LeBron, and the Cavs are only 2 years into kind of tearing this thing down and rebuilding it. I know they like to call it a renaissance, but it's not a rebuild, it's a renaissance. Again, for those listening, if we get enough t-shirt sales, I get that tattooed on my persons. But anyways, no, this is just the ugly portion of it, where the Cavs are kind of like in a weird position roster construction-wise, where they have a bunch of young players like Garland and Sexton and Osman and Porter who need playing time, but at the same time you have veterans like Love and Thompson and Knight when he's healthy and Henson when he's healthy and so on, that you need to get them some exhibition time to get them interest in the trade market. But I don't know, I think it's going to be a relatively quiet trade market for the Cavs, but they just stink. And I think that they're going to, but the silver lining in this is they have a lot of young promising players, and maybe they'll find their direction this time next year once they add another player through the draft, maybe multiple players through the draft, or they add a player that maybe raises their floor but lowers their ceiling a little bit, so they're kind of flirting with the playoffs a little bit more. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. It's definitely interesting going forward, but I can firmly say that once Golden State is back in title contention, that they will be an afterthought, or the Cavs at least will be an afterthought and a distant memory in theirs and their fans' minds. And I think it's pretty safe to say the Cavs should do the same, where this used to be a marquee matchup between these two organizations, and now it's just like just another game. It's just another crappy Saturday night game. And, oh yeah, why did this game have to start at 8 o'clock tonight? That's my other beef. This is just my old man complaining at this point, because clearly, as you can tell, I'm feeling a lot better, but I would still like to get some sleep. So, yeah, not really a lot to write home about in this one. Kevin Porter Jr. looked great. Darius Garland looked not so great. Colin Sexton looked pretty good. Yeah, it's just another ugly loss. Just they didn't build off any of the momentum for that possible upset against Toronto. And we'll kind of have to see what's going forward here. The team's going to be probably a dramatically different come Thursday at 3 p.m. Yeah, the trade deadline is just tick, 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 ticking closer. And, yeah, I don't know. Chris and I will be back Monday with some previews and some talking and some all that fun stuff. And don't worry, guys, I'm back and better than ever and healthy. And this is probably as awkward for you to listen as it is for me to record, because I can understand why Chris asked for a co-host, because talking to yourself for 10 minutes ad nauseum is no fun. So until then, thanks for listening to Locked On Cavs, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. And we will be back on Monday. Take care and go, Cavs.